Podcasting 2.0 for December 1st, 2023, episode 157, BEP 5. Oh, yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Podcasting 2.0, your weekly board meeting of everything that's going on in podcasting. We are the current state of the art. This is the only boardroom that skips the ads for you automatically. Yes, everything happening at podcastindex.org with the namespace at podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who can roll your pod smoother and flatter than anyone. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
I'm rolling pods.
Well, our feed now has a pod roll.
Oh, you put one in.
Well, Stephen B. added it to Sovereign Feeds, and I just added it, and I need to ask you if, because I put in, of course, I put in our prep shows, which is New Media Show and Podcast Weekly Review. Put in no agenda, since, you know, it's a big promoter of the podcasting 2.0. Do you have any anything you'd like on the pod roll?
Oh, gosh. I have lots of things I would like on the pod roll.
I can put in a million. It's just, you hit add. You just keep, and you know what's cool about it? You hit add, and it looks up in the I just love these little things. It looks up in the index. You just type in the podcast name, it shows up, you click, done. You don't have to do anything with RSS feeds. You just look it up, click on it, done. It's beautiful.
See. Well, let me go inspect the said pod roll and see what you got in there. Where's the pod roll?
You looking at our feed?
Yeah, I'm looking at our feed.
Yeah, it should be in the feed. I put it in the feed.
I'm sorry. I just saw that. I like looking in the feed every now and then because it's entertaining because you do things in here that I don't know about.
Like what? What did I do?
Like, well, you did, you have these blocks in here. Oh. Block Apple, block Spotify, block Amazon.
Yeah. How well did that work? As you can tell, Apple just took our feed anyway. Oh, that block, that really works.
Well, they don't even honor their own block tag. So why would they honor anybody
else? That's true.
I don't see the pod roll. Where? Oh, wait, there it is.
That should be in there. Yeah.
I got it.
Thanks, Stephen B. Stephen B., you are the man. You are the master. You are the man. I love you, brother.
Yeah, you only got three in there. We need to beef that up.
Yeah, we need to beef shake that up.
I mean, like, at least, a music show.
Oh yeah,
Boost Grand Ball.
Oh, I hadn't even considered that. I mean, I could put all of my shows in there, but I put three in. I figured you might have one, but if you want me to add Boost Grand Ball, okay. Since you twist my arm,
yeah, put Boost Grand Ball on there.
Watch this. So I go to Pod Roll. So, oh, hold on a second. Oh, that's show info. I need to go to.
Are you doing this live? Are you adding this live? Are you sticking it in live?
Can I do that, baby? I'm sticking it in live. Although
that's dangerous.
Something just happened here, which is not good. I don't know.
Yeah, that's why you don't do it.
No, come on, man. Come on. Let me do it. Sync in the feed. Show info. Pod roll. There it is. Three. Add podcast. Boom. Boost.
Are we going to send another? It's going to webhook it, and you're going to send another live to everybody, which is fine because it's going to be like everybody's going to get double notified.
Okay. So,
really, seriously, publish. People, you need to listen to the show.
Okay. Boom. Double notification, everybody.
Let me refresh.
Should be in there.
I see it. It's in there.
That's what a beautiful system.
Update a feed and it actually
updated. It's fantastic. Yes. I want to thank the company Audia for making all podcasts now value for value. I think that's fantastic. Great job.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, Audia is an app that uses AI. And when you subscribe to a podcast, it downloads the episode. Then it uses AI to look for the ads and removes them for you. Which makes every single podcast value for value. Because
welcome to the party, guys.
I mean, if you want to support the podcast, you either don't use the Audia app and listen to the ads, or you don't care and you just have them block it out. I mean, it's value for value. It's the same thing. It is.
Yes. I didn't realize what the name of this thing was, but
That's not the name of the app. The name of the app is something else. I think I actually got the app. It works as advertised. So a couple things about this. First of all, what is the name of this app? What is the name of the
app? My understanding was they're not doing this on podcasts yet. They're only doing it on like radio and stuff.
Yeah, it works on the radio stuff. Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Right. That was your test.
That was my test. Well, there's a couple things with this app. So just briefly on this app, which now I can't remember. Is it called Audio? Let me see. Let me look at my...
Fader. I thought it was called Fader.
Faders. A Fader? Yeah, it may be Fader.
F-A-I-D-R.
F-A-I-D-R, Fader. So first, I just want to say they have music shows in there. I'd like to know how you do that, Fader. Are you playing licensed music in shows on your app? I'd like to know that right off the bat. They have something called Music Casts. Brilliant name. I thought long and hard about it. They have Music Casts and they have DJs playing licensed music. I would love to know how they do that. They got 90s. They got all kinds of stuff. So I'd really like to know how you're paying for the rights on that. That if there's anything wrong with this company and this app is that. I don't understand how they're doing it. I'd like to know that. I completely adore the fact that they have proven that you cannot monetize the network. This is no different. I have three apps here, regular, good old fashioned podcast apps, who allow me to set a number of minutes to skip at the beginning of each podcast. This is not new. Just the fact that it's, I guess AI is new. What do I hear?
Oh, sorry. That's me. That was me. I tapped on it. Evidently they're playing Ice Ice Baby right now. How is this?
I don't know how they do that.
Yes. Go ahead.
But this is a very important development because it shows that the end is here.
It is.
Yes. There's been this unwritten agreement, which by the way, all the time, I have to jump on Twitter and defend podcast apps. Sam Sethi says, I've set the time to 6:25 a.m. local time. No, I haven't.
In sovereignty?
No, I have. I said
for
it
for the live?
Yeah, I said it properly. What's he talking about?
It's 12:01:625.
Let me double check.
00. It's zero time. It's 6:25 UTC is what it's set to right now.
Yeah. So isn't that correct? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Anyway. This was inevitable. It's just like, I had this conversation. I was being interviewed this morning about advertising itself. Advertising is a race to the bottom always on the internet. Just look at banner ads, look at every other CPM, because ultimately there's no scarcity. There's no limitation on how many ads can run. So it's always going to run down to the lowest possible price. Always. And it's like all the conversations now, well, we all know we kind of skip over them. So these guys are just making it easy. Yes. Yes. That's right. That's right. This is for ad inserts. I think if you do something in the show we're sponsored by, that seems to be the only thing that will work. And I've always thought that was a good idea. I built a whole company trying to do that and still couldn't make it work.
If you can insert something, somebody else can uninsert it.
Can extract.
Yes.
Exactly.
What's the opposite of insert? Desert? Somebody else can rip that out.
Insert, retract. I think retract.
You can withdraw. Mm-hmm. Yes. That's so I had an interesting advertising sort of week this week.
Oh.
I started off here. Here's a general problem I'm facing is that I've got so many podcasts. I can't listen to them all. Mm.
Yeah.
I got 20 hours of podcast dropping in my podcast app a week. And
It's out of control.
And we are absolutely responsible for you know, with these 2 hour shows that we do, we're aggressors. In this
place. Good work. Good work. Yes. Good work.
Like I've got so much I can't listen to it. So I've been so behind on like Pod News Weekly Review and all these, like, I'm just so far behind. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to catch up. And I was listening to last week's show of Pod News Weekly Review, and they interviewed Lisa Jacobs from like Ad Results or something like that. I get all these names mixed up.
Yeah, sounds right.
I just want to start this by saying, and this is not an attack on Lisa at all. I'm sure she's a fine lady, but the advertising agency people. And this also includes Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
Lady interviewed on the most recent.
You mean she, when something's excited, she talks like this?
No. That's actually not it.
Oh.
Get a decent microphone. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, the audio is horrible.
There's that. Yes, there's that.
So you are the representative of an advertising agency that's focused on podcasting. And you sound like you're in a can.
Yeah.
Yes. You sound horrible.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand how they let that out. Microphones are not expensive. You should be handed a decent microphone and audio interface the day that you sign up for this job.
A pod mic is all you need. It's got the processing. You can stick your headphones in it. Good to go. It's perfect.
The number of people I hear from advertising agencies, and I listen to things like, Media Roundtable, which is Oxford Road Advertising Agency, and all, they all sound horrible.
Yeah.
They sound like they're on the built-in MacBook Air mic. It's so bad.
Well, we've had guests on this show where we had to go like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Media Roundtable. I'm not subscribed. You know what really helped me?
Just don't do it.
No. What helped me, I got to subscribe to the Media Roundtable. I just started using a different app. I just started using Podcast Guru and started from scratch. It's like, what do I really need? I think I've turned the downloads off on Podverse and Fountain. I think I have all of them loaded pretty much, except for Castomatic because I'm Graphene OS, but I have everything else. And,
you did the dust off and nuke it from orbit strategy. Yeah.
Is that what that is? Dust off and nuke it? Well,
that's a reference to Aliens, the movie Aliens. You just nuke your whole playlist and start over.
Well, so obviously I have backups of my OPML and I can export the OPML, but I look deep inside my soul and said, what do I want to listen to? Oh, it's Tuesday. That means my hate listen, which I would have to say for some odd reason, the Pivot podcast is it's religious for me. I never miss the Pivot podcast. I mean, I might drop out if the guest they have at the end is not interesting, but that happens so rarely. And it's because I disagree with pretty much everything they say that it's good for my soul. I mean, I respect them. Let me put it that. I respect them. I don't like them. I don't like what they say. I disagree, but I respect them. And they have good mics. So there's that.
Yeah,
then, the new media show, I like the new media show a lot. I'm always disappointed that I'm either not getting the pod ping or, the sound. Speaking of sound, I mean, there's been so many problems with the sound. So usually that's a Wednesday and around noon or 1 o'clock or something, it goes off. I'm always delighted. Then I'll work out to that.
What's your work? Are you spinning? You still spinning?
No. I'm free weights, baby.
Oh, you're pumping iron.
I'm pumping iron. Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, you know that none of my clothes fit me anymore.
Because you're too big or too small?
No, my chest expanded.
Because you're ripped.
I'm far from ripped. But also, I stopped smoking over exactly a year ago, pretty much. So,
I eat more. Put some weight on you.
But, it's not that I'm fat. It's just the working out. I mean, I knew it would happen. I see. My goal is then if Joe Rogan invites me on again, I want to walk in. I want to go, Curry, what happened to you? I'm like, yeah. Hey, Joe, look at me.
I'm ripped. Arm wrestling.
I don't think so.
No, you could stand easily to put on another 20 pounds.
No, you look better. You haven't seen me.
From the time I last saw
you. I'm 205.
Yeah, but you're 6'5".
Yeah, but I was 189, so I put on a lot of weight.
That is too thin for 6'5".
Yeah, it was. Anyway, every morning, literally religiously, because I walk the dog, I say my morning prayers, and then on the way back, I listen to Pod News Daily. It's perfect length. It's perfect in so many ways. And I can also, practice forgiveness.
Beef, iron, and prayer. That's your morning.
Yes. Pretty much. Of course, Pod News Weekly Review sometimes will come in late Thursday, which I dig. But I always try to listen to that. And I think that's pretty much it. Then I have some other sporadics. But honestly, there's not much time left for other things. I look forward to a drive into Austin, time to time. Cause I can listen to a couple of things. And there is one type of podcast I can listen to while I'm working, and that's music podcast. So I'll listen to the Sidestream podcast. I'll listen to Homegrown Hits. I'll listen to It's a Mood. Yeah. I'll listen to stuff like that. Once in a while, I'll put on Lightning Thrashes. It's not really my jam, but I like to listen. Upbeats is hilarious. I love Salty Crayon. Upbeats is my favorite. it's like the old pirate radio days. It's literally like,
all right, I got another song here. Let me see if I can find it. All right. This is brand new, from the Dorfels.
And there's a pause for 3 seconds. I love it.
It's the needle.
The
rub.
Needle on the record. I love that. It makes, I, Tina came out. I was cooking on the grill outside. She says, "You're laughing. You're playing air guitar. I'm listening to Upbeats. I love Salty Crayon so much. I know him personally. He's a great guy, because it's just all this and it takes a while for the song to start. It's always a good song. And I play air guitar and I'm waiting for him to come back on. It's just it gives me so much joy, and I can listen to those anywhere while I'm working. Even so, I love doing that. And of course, Ellen Beats, just to listen to the top 100, have it go random. I love that.
I'm addicted to Club Random with Bill Maher. I mean, I never miss an episode now.
Oh, wow.
And that's not a hate listen. That's because he's got such a broad range of guests. He's got
interesting guests for sure.
Yeah. And he has his moments, but he's pretty. He tries to play it down the middle as much as he can. He'll swerve, but of course, we all do.
I'm always surprised by how uneducated he is on certain things. Bill Maher, did you not know that?
That is so true. He did something the other day. I was like, whoa, how did you not know this? Because he knows a lot. And then I'm like, how did you not have this hole? How did you have this hole in your knowledge?
Yeah.
But he had Margaret Cho. Do you know?
The comedian?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he had her on as a guest a couple of episodes.
Where's she been? I haven't seen her in a long time.
I don't really know. Evidently, she just works all the time.
Comedians. They work.
But he had her on, and I thought I knew who she was, but I made it through the whole episode. The first part of the episode was kind of not my.
How long are these things? A couple hours?
Distasteful. No, they're not. They're usually an hour and a half, hour and 15, right. Something like that.
Once a week or multiple times a week? A
couple of times a week. But he had Candace Owens on. Mm-hmm. That was a fun one because they battled and then they would agree and then they'd battle again.
I'll bet. Yeah.
Had a big debate about the moon landing. That was pretty funny.
Now I got to go listen to it.
Oh, you hadn't heard it? Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic.
No. Is she a believer?
I don't know what she is. She never really would say. She was kind of hem-hawing around. She wouldn't commit. But so he had Margaret Cho on, and I was like, I think I know who this is. And so I start looking up. I jump on YouTube, and I look up Margaret Cho, and I was like, okay, well, what is – I don't know that I've ever seen her stand up. So I tried a couple of different versions, and I say, Margaret Cho – stand up. And I hit that and it comes back with, of course, it's got the shorts and all that stuff, which I always skip.
Yeah. Annoying. And I
scroll down, PBR. You going PBR?
This is, this is a Pabst Blue Ribbon, extra light. Malt. Light.
Because you're putting on weight.
That's right.
So I scroll down and I'm like, oh, this is weird. And there's like some pretty sketchy thumbnails of some sex stuff on here.
On YouTube?
And then about me looking up Margaret Cho stand up. And I keep scrolling.
It turns out it's a porn move. It's like a position doing a Margaret Cho. Hey, man, I'm doing a Margaret Cho stand-up. Oh, wow, that's a tough one.
That's a version of the Margaret Cho. Yeah, the stand-up. It's a sub-variant. Yeah. So, before I scroll down a little further, and, dude, I am telling you, it went off the rails. It was full-on. Like, I had to close the browser fast because I was afraid that I was going to get a knock on the door.
Wow.
It was shocking the type of porn.
This is that coming from a guy YouTube. Who rips a rooster's head off with his bare hands. So it was scary. Shocking. Yeah. Yeah.
It was scary. And I figured that all that kind of stuff makes it onto these platforms at some point.
Oh, no, it's in the algos. It's in the algos.
Dude, it was disgusting. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this was pedo. I don't know what this was, but I was like, oh my God. And there's advertising against this.
Oh, time. Yeah. I had the same experience with TikTok, which I don't have the app. But I installed the app because apparently I was going viral for something. And I was like, okay, I'll go take a look. And I opened the app right away. I get one of those right away. First thing, first install, boom. And I'm like, nope, delete. I'm done. I'm good. Nope. No, thank you. Yeah. Unbelievable. And then we wonder what's wrong with our young men in the world.
And so this made me, I had seen this article headline earlier. So I went back and looked, and it was that, I think I sent it to you. Maybe it was the article about, yeah, I know I did. About the Google advertising network, the search partner network, and how they monetize, they put ads against all this horrible content.
Yes. Yes.
Now, of course, they go political and put Breitbart in there and all this stuff. But if you get past that part and actually dig into that report, it is like Google is advertising against every type of distasteful, porn, drugs, everything you can think of.
That was terrorism. From the Adalytics. That's what that was from.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a very long report, but it is worth going through because he goes step by step and shows you, examples of like he'll have a website for like, you know, who knows, like ISIS. Mm-hmm. And there will be an FBI ad for a job opening right there on the ISIS page.
That's your artificial intelligence right there. Makes nothing but sense.
Or it'll be some like hardcore porn thing. And there'll be an ad, you know, right there for like, you know, some TV show. It's like, this was the experience I had with advertising this week. I was like, The idea, and it rung a bell with me when you said what you said earlier about the like the inventory, like drive to zero. Mm-hmm. I wonder if some of this brand safety stuff is an attempt to artificially reduce ad space to keep the CPMs from going down.
Oh, that's a very good point. It's still not true. Because because you can still, you know, how many ads do you want? You know, how much inventory do you want? We just create more. I mean, for every podcast download, you know, you stop and you start, it could have a different ad. I mean, it's endless, but it will it will limit it to some degree. Yes. That's an interesting angle. I don't even know if that's purposeful.
Because you could say, if you looked at all the digital ad space as a pie, and you say, okay, well, we want the biggest, we have to preserve our section of pie or enlarge it somehow. We need to, the only way to do it is to reduce the inventory, to reduce the ad space. And what we definitely want to get a twofer taking it away from our political competition or whatever that is.
Yeah.
But it seems just in general, well, of course, brand safety doesn't actually do it.
That's so interesting you bring that up, because just this afternoon I was listening to my Hate Listen, and Professor Scott Galloway, professor in marketing, he said that the sick thing about this Elon situation is that because all these advertisers pull out, a smaller advertiser will get a much larger return on investment for the time being, because there's, you know, just because there's much less ad dollars competing for the space.
Now, there you go. That's almost confirmation that that has at least something to do with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just don't know if it's purposeful. I really don't.
It may be one of those things where it wasn't purposeful at the beginning, but then they see a bump every time and they keep doing it.
Like, that's very, that's an interesting angle.
So
you're giving them a lot of credit.
I am. But the brand safety thing is so obviously a red herring. Because, I mean, case in point is this, this On the Media episode that me and you texted about the other day.
Oh my goodness. I played five clips from that on No Agenda. That was so unhinged. People hearing things that are not even there. It was great.
I think it was a couple of days ago. I forgot even the title of it, but it was all about Trump. And so it was like somebody took, so when future archaeologists attempt to understand Trump derangement syndrome, this episode of On the Media will be their Rosetta Stone. Like that is, it's like somebody took Trump derangement syndrome, distilled it, purified it into liquid form,
and put it into 20 minutes. It was in a special episode, no less.
Yeah. When you're high on liquid Trump derangement syndrome, this is your fever dream. That's what it sounds like.
And do
you remember a single advertiser from that episode?
Well, I have pretty much eliminated advertising for my life. I've used the Pie Hole for years, so I really, between my Pie Hole and Brave browser, really very little gets through. Graphene OS, so there's much less stuff being tracked and trying to be recommended to me through other arenas. I never see an ad on Twitter. Now I like the ads on most of the podcasts I listen to. Like I listen to the Pivot ads because I'm very interested who advertises, and they I have to say, for all the F bombs and all the racism that they espouse, especially against white men, it's and Christian hate and all this stuff, or fear of God, I should say, because man, they're afraid of God. Or your Sky Daddy. They have Apple. The funniest one is, you know, just show you how corrupt they are, morally corrupt, without even knowing it. I'm not going to accuse them. They have Atlassian is advertising like crazy. Of course, they're the award-winning tech show. I mean, the tech news about Atlassian is how Confluence has been hacked by the Chinese and all the military contractors are freaking out. But of course, they can't talk about that, nor will they ever, when Atlassian is advertising. You know, so I'm always surprised, but also delightfully delighted by how they are literally doing ads for Apple together, you know, in the most disingenuous way. Scott, what do you have on your Mac? Well, I have numbers because, you know, I need to know what's going on with the numbers. I mean, it's like numbers is the cruddiest, the cruddiest Excel replacement ever. It's the worst. Yeah. It's so bad. And I'm about to do a speech. I'm going to use Keynote. No, you're not. You're using PowerPoint. Don't lie. Don't lie. We all know. We know you're full of crap. But everybody, I mean, advertising is so the antithesis of value for value because it's disruptive. You know, it's interrupting your enjoyment. And it just goes to show that people do not care about the podcast if they don't listen to the ads. And it's really, it's a bad ask. Please listen to the ads to support us. My God. I mean, all you have to do is say, send me some value and someone might send you $50. You know, that'll be the entire run of that ad for a month. It's like, why? It's such a small switch in your head. Just instead of saying, please listen to the ads, click on the advertisers, to saying, why don't you support the show with whatever you think it's worth? It's just, the whole world has to move this way. Unfortunately, Amazon, and I gladly pay for Amazon Prime Video. I gladly pay for Netflix. Then I have Hulu. I have no cable anymore. I cut the cord on that. There's nothing. There's no cable in my life. So none of those ads. I don't listen to radio. But now Amazon, you know, they're moving toward they've had this thing called Freevee.
It's like, what is that?
Well, you're looking for some show or something. It's like, oh, the show is right here. Oh, it's Freevee, so it has ads. But I don't see a way for me to just do I have to pay extra for this? I'll pay extra for it. They don't even give me that opportunity. It's so short-sighted. And then the whole world will have to move towards either straight-up subscription, which some things are just worth subscribing to. I think, and I don't have any subscriptions that way, but and you know, we know that this streaming model doesn't work because they're all losing money. Mm-hmm. So that's not working. So ultimately, you kind of got to move towards a value for value model. And if you're not skipping the ads, that's value for value. You are, even if you don't care, you are showing value by listening to an ad. But what a horrible thing. Instead of, hey, love me, help me, it's love me, take some beatings.
Yeah. Well, the fader thing, I'm like you, it was inevitable. I mean, come on, everybody. We could all sit down for a little while. Even before AI, lots of people had lots of ways that they had come up with to do this exact thing.
Well, how about a DVR? It started with DVRs. Like, I recorded the show, or let's start watching the show at 5 after the hour. So when the ad comes on, I can fast forward through it. Everyone's done that. It's a broken model. Some of it still works. I mean, I'm not against commerce and advertising. It just doesn't seem to be working anymore when you're in this environment.
See, I think that's the difference. Like the advertising model, it only worked up until the point where there was where it became digital.
Yeah, TiVo.
Yeah, the digital ecosystem and the advertising model, they just don't work together.
Or even there's VHS. I mean, that's when it really started.
As soon as you can control in an automated way what the content is, it's a complete collapse.
Yeah.
And you can't stop it because it's just the same way that you can't stop you know, that you can spam filter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about it that way. Spam filtering is just weeding out advertising.
Yeah. Thank you. It's exactly what it is.
When I want to use my email, but I don't want to see ads for Viagra. So I spam filter.
Because we already have a subscription.
And this is
smart. That's just dumb advertising.
Yeah, it's called Pfizer Blue.
Is that the new thing, Pfizer Blue? Is that what it's called?
$40 a month. You get all, for all the Viagra you need. Yes.
That's a deal. Pfizer Blue.
Yeah, you get the blue check. Yeah, the blue V. So this has been happening for years. Let me go even a little bit further than that on ad blocking. Because ad blocking, for most people's interaction with ad blockers is that they don't like seeing a bunch of ads on the internet when they browse, so they install an ad blocker. That's like the normal end user, you know,
control.
Residential. Yeah. That's sort of everybody's typical interaction. But there's another side to this that IT people see in the enterprise. And for us, ad blocking is not primarily a thing about convenience or entertainment or whatever. It's a safety issue.
Yes.
So we deploy, as most enterprises do, pretty much this is standard. We deploy some level of ad blocking across the board in a defensive posture because digital advertising like banner ads became malicious long ago.
Yeah, they did. They did.
You would go to a website, a JavaScript ad would pop your machine and you're compromised. So the enterprise world took a defensive stance against advertising many years ago, and that has persisted and even gotten stronger. So most enterprise level IT will do things like you said, like pie holing, mm-hmm. but it's at the firewall level. They will firewall it. They'll host name list it. They will put in browser ad blocker extensions. They have multiple layers of advertising blocking to reduce their attack surface. Mm-hmm. And this level of tech and commitment to the process of ad blocking will inevitably flow downhill into the rest of digital media.
Yes. And
so audio comes next. Even though audio has, you can say for sure that audio has less of an attack vector on the ad front than something like a browser ad does, but it's not zero. And so we all know stage fright, the stage fright vulnerabilities from Android where certain types of media got played and it would pop your phone. This stuff is coming, and it's coming from different angles. It's not just, I guess what I'm trying to say is when you look at people using ad blockers or trying to strip ads from content, it's not always just about this greedy SOB trying to get something for free. There are other motivations involved.
True. And I'm old enough to remember the first ad blockers popping up in web browsers. Adblock, I think. And I remember I was in the advertising space at the time, and not with web ads per se, but I had commercial clients who were involved in a lot of this. And, you know, the industry got together and, well, we have to, you know, then they had whitelisting, acceptable ads, you know, quote unquote, acceptable ads, all this stuff. It never works. None of it has ever worked. It never will. It's not going to happen because ultimately the advertising methodology of interruption is anti-human. It's anti-human. And moreover, because advertising is tailored towards making, if it's done well, towards making you open and susceptible for the ad at the moment it comes, if it's really done well. Now, the paywall thing is different, and I think that's also anti-human. You know, it's like, oh, wow, I want to read this article, click paywall. You have a choice right there. You know, it's like, do I use some tools I might have? Do I just, it wasn't that important, I'm not going to look at it. And I would posit that if you made it frictionless, for someone to say, oh, you know, that was kind of cool, thanks for giving me that, I'm going to pay you 10 sats or whatever, I would posit that ultimately that will be better for you than any other methodology in the long run as we go down this hill, which just is a race to the bottom. It has always been that way. Mm-hmm. You know, we had, you remember when cassettes came out, and then almost stealing music. So how'd they do it? They put a dollar on the price of blank cassettes that went to the music industry. That didn't last. They wanted to do the same thing with hard drives.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Oh yeah. When, I think that was when Napster was around. Yep, they wanted to do the same.
They wanted to have a tax on hard drives.
Tax on hard drives, yeah, because you were storing your music on it.
Yikes.
I bet you that actually, let me see, was it hard drive music?
I didn't remember that about the cassette tapes.
All blank media had private copy levy. There you go.
Copy levy.
Yeah, also known as blank media tax, a government mandated scheme in which a special tax or levy is charged on purchase of recordable media. History, let me see, Europe, of course, European Union, yeah. They had that. In Belgium, well, I guess it hasn't gone away entirely. In Belgium, a fee is charged on both blank media and recording equipment, which is passed on to OVBel, which is in charge of distributing the funds. As of February 1, 2010, so I don't know if it's still around, MP3, MP4 players had a tax. TV, hi-fi, combined DVD, writer, video recorder, multifunctional DVD. This has been around for a long time.
I had no idea. This is a revelation to me.
Oh, yeah. In Finland, it's 4 euros for memory cards up to 5, or memory devices up to 512 megabytes. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so do phone manufacturers also pay this, like an iPhone or an Android device or something?
Lord knows. I don't even know if it's still in play. But this was one of the solutions. I don't think these prices are in play because you can get for 36 euros, you can get a lot more than that kind of space these days. I mean, it outpaces the cost of what they are. But there's always been, so you devolve to DRM, which has its own drawbacks. All I can say is from my own 16 years of experience, value for value works. It is not designed or even humane to be something that works for everybody, which is the antithesis of what the promise is from Silicon Valley. Get a camera. You'll make money. You're a YouTuber. Whee! Not every podcast or product is designed to have a mass audience that will make you livable wage. 1,000 people who care a lot about what you're doing in whatever community you're in actually may make your life sustainable. This is the promise of value for value, but the promise is just not for everybody. You may be doing a great podcast, but no one cares because it's not for anybody else but you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just no.
Yeah, I can confidently say that a podcast like this, which is this is not a podcast about podcasting. This is a podcast about something
very specific.
Very specific.
Very specific.
Which is one single open source project within podcasting. I mean, that is niche upon niche upon niche. Mm-hmm. There is no way that this show would ever be able to provide us a living wage. It's just not going to happen. So that's not. Yeah, you're right. I mean, if you have a podcast about, about random subject A, there's a likelihood that it's just not going to have, you're not going to be able to do a living wage out of it. I mean, value for value is going to be just as successful to you as advertising.
More successful, I think.
Yeah, at least.
If you look at this podcast, according to op3.dev, in the last 30 days, how many downloads do you think we've had? Mm. What do you think?
For the last episode?
No, in the last 30 days.
How many downloads?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to say 10,000.
5,690.
For this show?
Yeah. In November, our unique audience was 5,458. And I just use these numbers because that's the best numbers we got.
Is that OP3?
That's OP3, yeah.
Yeah, so that these numbers are coming down, man. Adjustments that are going on, these numbers are hilariously coming down. Because we were at 13,000.
I know. We were killing it
2 months ago.
We were knocking it out of the park. That's
and this was probably the true number the whole time, or something closer to it. It's funny, man. This whole thing is just the advertising and podcasting is just so distasteful to me. It's so distasteful. I'm going to have to stop listening to this stuff. Like these, all these different shows about advertising and stuff like that. They're gross. They're slimy. Don't like it.
Well, okay. I won't go that far because I've been in this business. I understand it. I understand it much better than people may even give me credit for. I left the business on purpose, and took a huge leap, to change my life. And it's done more than just change my media. It's changed my life. It's how I live my life. And I'm just a money router. You know, it's like, I'm giving away money left and right. Oh, you got an open source project. Boom. NextCloud. Yeah, I use all the time. And if they remind me somewhere, oh yeah, I got to support you. Boom. I'm doing this all the time.
I'm like the only guy I know that pays for Signal.
No, I've donated to Signal. Yeah. Sure. Of course. Of course you got to. Otherwise one day it'll go away.
It goes away. That's right.
And then finally, you know, that now that Amazon Web Services is charging for public IPv4 addresses, IPv6 is, no, but IPv6 is here. It's going to change things. It's going to change all of this. And I just feel bad for people who desperately hold on to this stuff.
The reason I say it's slimy is because the podcast advertising is driving at 90 miles an hour, and there's a cliff about off in the distance, and it's just heading straight for it. And the whole time, up into the very last moment, when the front wheels go an inch off into to space, they're going to continue to tell everybody that revenue's up. We got better targeting. We got this, we got that. And then you're going to just be like the coyote. You're just gonna be falling headed towards the bottom of the butte or whatever, Poof.
And then, while we're on this, and I'm pretty sure this started on Noster, but I won't blame them per se, is Zapvertising.
What is that?
Oh. So these are companies that will get your Lightning address.
This is what Sam was posting about.
Yes. Which of course is, you get it right off of Noster. That's the easiest way. This is what Albi and Fountain, requested, and we changed in the namespace so I can have, Adam at fountain.fm. So now all of that's being trolled. Of course, it's being scraped out of feeds, I'm sure. But the easiest place, because people are using it actively this way with LNURL pay, is Noster. And so now people are receiving, 1 to 5 sat payments with an ad in it.
I think that's great. Pay me all day long.
I think it shows that, in a way it shows that Noster and even the Lightning Network are solutions looking for problems. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
I mean, this to me is just, it's gotten so bad that now all that your Noster Zap thing is good for is to receive Zapvertising. Spam. And now, everyone's going to have to. Now, I'm with you to a degree on if you're going to send me 1,000 sats, it may get more interesting. But, now everyone has to go build filtering for that. So it's still intrusive.
Well, it depends on how much you're worth. I mean, if you look at my, I can look off into the future on this thing and say, okay, well, somebody sees our pod roll with various shows in it. Mm-hmm. They look at our OP3, which is public, and they say, okay, well, this show has 5,000 downloads. They have, they seem to align well. I'm going to spam them with, with some boost and try to get, you know, try to get mentioned on the show. And for our, and we're going to just going to pump in our advertisements and so then maybe even not a mention on the show, but since the boost then become public, like, I don't know. I could see this as being sort of an, it's almost like an automated, what would you call that? Like a, like an automated way to have your ad pop up. It's like programmatic ads, but you pay to get into it. And it's like, nobody blocks it. It just comes right in there.
Well,
but you have to pay a decent amount. You, you set thresholds and
that's, that, like, that's what's missing.
Yeah.
And you know, I run my own node. I get no Zapvertising, but I don't have a single one.
I wonder if I have any. I haven't looked.
I don't even think I have any on Albi. Of course, I only have one Albi in one block these days. But you know, now we do need filtering for that. And I love Helipad because Helipad will just won't show it to me. If it's not in a TLV record, I'm not going to see it. It's just, I don't know.
This is all floundering is what this is.
Yeah, that's okay. There's a good term, floundering. It's just floundering. Hey, I had an idea. This may be a weird thought because, again, you know, YouTube, the doing podcasts is great. Is it weird of me to think that the even if it's HTML, embedded HTML code, is that wrong as an enclosure on a feed?
An HTML enclosure?
Yeah, like an embed code. So you know, instead of fighting YouTube, which I don't really care, but if you want to be on YouTube, so you know, the way I want to zig where they're zagging. So YouTube is saying, "Give us all your RSS belong to us, and we're gonna ingest it." And there's no, and then once we have it, screw your RSS entry. We have it.
Okay.
Now, if I just wanted to put my YouTube video into my RSS feed as an enclosure, does it necessarily, I mean, an enclosure can be a PDF, an enclosure can be an MP3, an MP4, it could be all kinds of different downloadable media.
It can be anything with a MIME type.
So could it be just an embeddable YouTube code that just pops up within the app because the app says, oh, this is a YouTube. I mean, does it have to use? You understand what I'm saying?
You're talking about when you get one of those HTML fragments.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a web clip, you know, a web snippet.
Right.
Because the only reason why YouTube wins at this game is because of all the obvious things they solved, which is compatibility across all browsers. Storage and bandwidth. So why wouldn't we just, you know, because I still want my metadata around it. What's wrong with embedding a YouTube video, making a YouTube video an enclosure? Easy for apps to understand.
Yeah, they would just spawn a web view to show it.
Yeah. Is there, I mean, I have no religious, any RSS versus downloadable media reason to not think that's legal from a technical standpoint.
No, I mean, it's totally legal. The only thing that YouTube could do would be they could begin to block showing it based on the referrer header.
Yeah. So well, of course,
We're not going to allow this, but I mean, that's a cat and mouse game.
Yeah. I mean, you can get around it eventually. And, you know, and sometimes, I mean, would there be a cores issue? Maybe, I don't know. I'm just throwing out some terms. I have no idea what they mean. It just hit me. It's like, you know, YouTube is YouTube Music, although James Cridlin loves it. He says it's a pretty good podcast app. What if I just want my podcast app, but I just want to add Theo Vaughn's YouTube video feed? And he just creates a feed. It's called Theo Vaughn's YouTube video feed. And he puts in the embed links as the enclosure or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then my podcast app, which I, you know, do all my podcast stuff with, just says, oh, this is a YouTube video. I'll display it.
That's, yeah. I mean, I don't, So don't see why it wouldn't work.
Because I think we're in this weird space where we're being complicated about them being the app. No, they're just the storage and the bandwidth people. It streams, like I stream all my MP3s. I mean, yeah, will you be able to view it as a download? Maybe. I mean, you can get, there's lots of apps that help you download the actual video from YouTube. Maybe can implement that.
Yeah, it would. So, yeah, there's no, I mean, it, like, as far as violating any specs,
it doesn't, no, right?
Yeah. No, not at all. Because we used to do this in the Freedom Controller. We would do
exactly.
We would, as enclosures, we would put HTML.
Yes.
Enclosures, and so then the HTML, the enclosure, when the News River saw the HTML enclosure, it would include it as a embed in the post.
And I'm willing to bet with you, which I won't, but I'm willing to bet that YouTube would, once YouTube sees, oh, you know, everyone's using our YouTube videos, which they can easily put an ad in front of if they want to. I mean, you can't really stop that per se, although you could, but once it's embedded, I mean, they could choose the route. They could choose the route of, no, we'll block all podcast apps. I have a feeling they might say, well, who cares? It's more distribution for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't really block anything nowadays, do they?
No, the only thing I get is, you know, like, you can't, you know, this, the owner won't let you view this as an embedded video, which is an owner setting. But I think everything else, you know, you embed it anywhere, just play. It plays on Mastodon. You know, plenty of people put that in. So why wouldn't we just have that? I mean, let's not be jihadist about this, you know? It's like, let's turn it around. Turn that frown upside down. Make your YouTube channel or whatever. Just turn that into your hosting company for your videos. Then hosting companies, I mean, I'm going to exclude some for obvious reasons. But that's really the only reason. Oh, yeah, sure, they have a great recommendation engine. Okay, as long as you keep feeding it. But most people subscribe to podcasts because you heard about it from somebody else, or it's in your pod roll, which we now have. So how would I go about doing that? Can I just create a feed? And how do we do that with the Freedom Controller? We just put it in as enclosure, and then the Freedom Controller knew how to read it?
Yeah, so the way the Freedom Controller did this was it would, you have, when you saved an article, if you were on a YouTube video, you would say, and you chose to save that article in your data, in your archive, or you chose to microblog it back to your microblog, whichever way you did it, it would pull the embed code for that YouTube video out.
There you go.
And include it as the enclosure with a content type of text/HTML. And so then when it comes back, when you see it in your news feed on the Freedom Controller page, when you saw it in your news feed, that post would just be the video. It would just be the embed. So you're seeing embeddable YouTube videos in your feed, and you just click play. You never actually leave that page and go to YouTube.
So how does this work with PeerTube? When you get a PeerTube, isn't it exactly the same thing?
PeerTube has native support for podcasting 2.0 alternate enclosures, and so.
But what's the MIME type?
The MIME type for it is HLS.
Ah, okay, right, gotcha. Now, okay, while we're on this, let's say New Media Show goes live, and I have an option. Maybe it's a third feed. And the option is the live YouTube feed. But I can still stream my sats per minute to them. I can still boost them. I'm just getting the stream from YouTube. I'm telling you, we've been looking at this all wrong. We need to turn it upside down and say, thank you very much, YouTube. That's great. Now, the cool thing is, if you feed them your RSS feed, and then it comes back into your feed as an RSS enclosure. I would recursion. But you basically have a feed that feeds YouTube. You know, you get on there. Something about this tells me we've been looking at it all wrong. And embrace the free hosting company that is YouTube.
Well, this is exactly what people did to SoundCloud and archive.org.
Do tell.
You just upload your, well, I mean, you just upload your stuff to there.
Right. And that's then right. Link yeah. to it as link the enclosure. To, yes. And people still do that, I think.
For yeah, for sure. I don't know how you can get, I don't know what the, if they do HLS or whatever, if you get some sort of native type of thing. But
I don't care. Just give, do me the, just give me the embedded player.
Yeah.
I don't care that I have to start it by clicking on it or tapping on it. That's fine. As long as I can stream sats. Thank you very much, YouTube, for the free bandwidth and free hosting.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yes. This is a good idea. I like this.
It was it just hit me. It's like, why are we fighting these guys? Why do we have to beg for them to, oh, please, YouTube, take all of our information, take a metadata, please, let me, no. Yeah, I'll throw it into a channel. I'll throw it into a channel. I don't need your stinking RSS ingestion. Just let me have a channel. And then, you know, boom, I'll add those links into my feed.
That, I don't see why that wouldn't work. As a matter of fact, we should test it.
I would like to test it. Is Stephen B. programming already?
No, I'm sure he's already got
it. Is it done yet, Stephen B.?
Yes, it's called Whitey Beats. Yes, I think it's worth looking at because it'd be flip it around. Use the free host.
Yeah.
Hey, why not?
I just see you can get the benefit of YouTube. You know, there's definite benefits to YouTube if you like it. If you want to play the YouTube game, that's fine. And then you put right there in every single one of your descriptions, subscribe to us on a podcast app.
Yeah.
Did you find us on YouTube? Click here to subscribe in Podverse. Click here to subscribe in CurioCaster, et cetera, et cetera. And then it just takes you to the index or whatever, or, you know, whatever, however you do that. You type it into your app, boom, there it is, subscribe, done. I don't think people are going to cry that, oh, I have to click on this YouTube video. It's perfect.
You go one step further. You can say, like a podcast host, you can sign up for podcast hosting and they say, Where's your YouTube channel?
Exactly.
Point them at the YouTube channel. They suck in the content, convert it to MP3, and now you're native.
All kinds of things can be done here. We're looking at it the wrong way. They need us more than we need them.
I like that. Is yes.
Amen. And they know it. They know it. They'd love to have the dedicated podcast listeners and viewers. They love it. Why not? We give them free audience instead of, oh, can we please be a part of your audience and recommendation engine? Hey, you know what? I'm going to let you enjoy my audience for free. I'm not going to charge you, YouTube, for free.
It struck me the other day that I think I finally figured out this whole, what is a podcast, you know, debate. I mean, obviously we know what a podcast is on a technical level. It's just, you know, it's an enclosure and an RSS feed, but that's on a purely technical level. But I think I finally figured out what the confusion is amongst the general public. To the average person, a podcast is some people talking to each other on microphones with headphones.
With headphones, yes.
Yes.
That's a podcast.
Theo Von's show is a podcast.
Yes.
Not because of anything other than the fact that he has headphones on and he's talking to somebody into a mic. That's what it is.
I would love for him to say, yeah, subscribe to the YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts. Seriously.
Yeah.
That's why all the TikTok people are
wearing headphones and talking into mics that aren't connected to anything. It's because they want to be a podcast.
Oh yeah, no, there's lots of people who do a fake podcast setting to make it look like they're serious about something or they're important because they were interviewed in a podcast. It's just fake. It's not even a real podcast. There's tons of those.
When you say where do you listen to your podcasts, it's not people think in their head. Okay, what podcast do I listen to? Oh, yeah, they think about all the shows where there's people talking into microphones with headphones on, and they're like, I think I see a lot of that on YouTube. Yeah, YouTube. That's what it is. Like there's lots of things that are podcasts, like NPR shows. Those are podcasts.
Yes. Yeah.
But they don't have people talking into microphones with headphones on. Yeah. You can't see it.
You can't
see it. So it's not a podcast.
Yeah, you can't see it. Exactly. Exactly.
Because I think Joe Rogan is the reason for that.
Yes.
Joe Rogan is the reason people associate mentally.
Yes.
Dudes talking into microphones with headphones on with podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to work on this. I think this would be fantastic. I mean, we're going through this whole exercise, which is kind of funny in a way. This whole exercise with Ainsley Costello and Just Loud. And I'm by the way, I love you, Dovi Das. I love you, Booberry. You guys are my heroes. For the first time in my life, and I've been doing this for 30 years, that I don't have to be involved in getting something set up at a venue and people explaining to people how things work and RSS feeds. They're setting all this in motion. There was a lot of malinformation, I guess is the right term, about how this works and how the podcasting 2.0 part of streaming sats works. And there was, I was just praying that, oh, please, can we get this set up so the apps that do video can actually do video and stream sats and take boostograms. I was just praying, and these guys jumped in. Booberry's on site in Minneapolis. I mean, my heart is full that you guys are doing this. I love that. Then, there's so much went into finding the right place to stream. I'm like, honestly, this is well known. I disagree with using YouTube. I like using PeerTube. But if you just want to stream it on YouTube, that should be totally possible in a lit environment. It's totally possible. Just put the YouTube link into your enclosure in your lit tag, and Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, it's just that everybody would choke on the HTML.
No, because no one's set up for it.
Because they're not set up for it, yeah.
But, I mean, why not? It's just another enclosure type.
Yeah, no. I'm in total agreement.
I will stream video from this show, from my end. From my end.
That is bull. No, you're not going to do that.
If a podcast app sets up a YouTube live, as an enclosure, I will publish this as an enclosure on the lit tag. I'll have multiple, of course, but so that people can watch me do the show.
If this happens, do I get to criticize you for being distracted?
Of course, because the show will suck. It'll devolve
Sweet,
into
do it. The show will devolve into it'll come mush. Off the rails. Yeah, yes.
It seems like we're looking at this the wrong way. We have some religious belief, quote unquote religious belief, that it has to be a downloadable thing. No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Especially not for live. I mean, that's never downloadable anyway.
Some of the biggest companies and organizations in the world use YouTube as their video provider. And they embed videos all over their site for their conferences, all of this stuff, all the time.
Now, I will get religious on the, I will get sort of religious on the downloadable part, because I fight a lot with streaming. There's some aspect of my life where I walk through stairwells and elevators, and I go in and out of Wi-Fi range to such a degree that apps that stream only and don't download just fall down all the time, and it's very aggravating.
Sure.
So the downloadable part to me is pretty important.
But are you actually watching in the elevator, or are you listening in the elevator?
Listening.
Use the MP3 stream, the MP3 feed. It's that simple. Or use the alternative feed, whatever the app goes with. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't happen very often to me. In fact, very infrequently do I have an interruption in my stream. I'm an older guy now, so sometimes the stream is interrupted.
You need there's medication for that. It opens things up.
Back to Pfizer Blue. It's Oh, that's interesting. Ice Cube Soup says this opens up the possibility to adding value for value to live Twitch streams. Yes. Or even X. I mean, you still get what you pay for. Let's be honest about it. You can be deplatformed. You can be all kinds of bad stuff can happen to you. But why fight it? It's there. It's free. These guys literally want you to use it. Well, why shouldn't I have an embedded? I don't think Twitter does embeds, but, you know, it's like, it's crazy not to do it. Put it in the podcast app. I mean, think about who what you can add as an audience. I think you, as an app developer, I think you can add a lot of content, a lot of users. I really do. And, you know, we just run our value for value right alongside with that.
Well, SoundHound already does this. Do you know that app, SoundHound?
No, I don't think I do.
Yeah, so SoundHound is the app that I think started this whole thing of being able to, you open the app, tap the listen button, and it hears the song and tells you which one, what it is.
Oh, yeah. Of course I know this. I'm looking at it now. Yes.
Yeah. So the SoundHound does this already. It'll tell you what the song is, and it'll say, do you want to listen to it?
It
plays the YouTube version of the song in their app as an embed.
There you go.
So clearly these embeddable web views are possible.
Yes.
I think this as an alternate enclosure.
Yeah.
Why not? It makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
In fact, alternate enclosure, perfect way to test it.
Yeah. I think that this makes sense. Yeah.
All right.
And then you just have the right, to mime type. Will be done by the end of the day.
And it solves the biggest problem. Yeah. YouTube, the podcast, as long as it's in my podcast app.
Mm-hmm.
So what is a podcast? Something that shows up in my podcast app. There's your answer.
Yeah. That's the answer.
That's the answer. So is it YouTube?
Something to have, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
A YouTube video, something shows up on YouTube. A podcast is something that shows up in my podcast app.
Exactly. Solves that problem.
I mean, and let's face reality here. But, you know, I think we timed the podcast index well.
I mean, obviously, you think that was us?
Yeah, sure. Right.
I know who it was.
Yeah, right. I think the timing was fantastic for many reasons, but one is because it's obvious that podcast apps are hurting, like with Castro shutting down.
Castro wasn't using value for value.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
And the podcast app space is shrinking. And I think there's clearly anything that can be done to, that's what our mandate is. Our mandate is to help podcast apps. And anything that does that is fair game. And I think that makes a lot of sense. Because then you got, you know, immediately you have a different, okay, I want to watch this. There's this quote unquote podcast that is on YouTube that there's no feed for anywhere. I can't find it on my podcast app because it's only on YouTube. Well, now it's a podcast. Now you can see it in your podcast app. Like right alongside everything that actually is a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I should probably go through a few boostergrams because people are responding very, very passionately. So we'll start with Booberry, 11,111. I'm positively stoked for the Just Loud and Ainsley show. Seen a lot of shows in my time like this a lot. This is one, other than getting pumped for Guar, I feel a wellspring of joy and value brewing. I'll be rebroadcasting the live show through BTS B4TS feeds and would encourage other lit-enabled shows to consider the same. let me see. Sam Sethi. Dave, how can apps download episodes and still take stream sats? We won't know how much you listen to until you reconnect. While offline, you may listen to 60 minutes of a podcast, but have no money when you reconnect in your wallet to pay for listening.
Well, that's already been solved. Yeah. Because they keep state, you know, while you're listening, it stacks those transactions up. And then the next time you come online, it batches those things and sends them. So yeah, the apps already do that.
By the way, Stephen B says, sorry guys, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 sats. I'm deer hunting this weekend, maybe next weekend. Okay. All right, then. Well,
fine.
I'll take a little bit of venison from you. I'd rather have venison than code this week, Stephen B.
Yeah.
Anyway, it seems like something we should just do, and I agree with you. Our mission is to help podcast apps. I think we've done pretty well so far. And this, it solves the biggest problem. What is a podcast? It's in a podcast app. What's a podcast app? Here you go. It says podcast app right on the tin. All right. And that means you can get all forms of media in your podcast app. It's episodic. That would be the fairest thing to say. As long as it's episodic, it's a podcast and I can get it in my podcast app. The next thing we discussed last week, in the fedification of the index, fedification of podcasting 2.0. We discussed DNS as a possibility for adding GUIDs and et cetera, identifiers, to which, of course, everybody said the following. I mentioned that 5,000 years ago.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of that.
Yeah, I know. I got it. You know, we're not pretending like we invented something here. But, you know, there's a time. It's all about timing. I invented YouTube 10 years too early, okay? But so it's not how it works.
We all invented lots of things, yes.
But Alex Gates turned me on to something, which I think you saw as well, or maybe not. PKARR? Have you seen PKARR? PKARR?
Yes. Yeah, I saw that and am struggling to understand it.
Okay. Well, I got it right away and it's working perfectly for me. So what's the URL? PKARR.org. I'm going to put this into the chat here.
Yes, Eric PP, PKARR.
Yeah, PKARR.org. Yes. Now, I generated a PKARR, and this goes to DHT, so it's distributed hash table. I guess that's, you know, magic space, internet space.
Yeah, so Kademlia is what that is.
So if you go to, I just pasted my predetermined, what is that called? What would you call that?
That's the DID, right?
Yeah, the ID. If you paste that in and hit resolve, what does it show you?
Wait, am I pasting this into a browser?
No, it was first you go to app.pkarr.org.
Oh, my bad. Okay.
Yeah. Right, and then you see what I posted in the, I'll post it.
I do.
In,
uh-huh.
Yeah. So you copy that PK colon. Org. And then you go to the resolve tab. You paste that, paste it in. And then resolve. What does it show you?
Okay. Let's see. Resolve.
It's a name and a value pair. Is it not working? Works for me.
Did I paste it wrong? What is that? Okay. Wait, technical difficulties. Hold on a second. It came across. I missed a character in the copying out of IRC, which is, great.
it's not high tech.
Okay, yes. Why am I getting this weird thing? Okay, wait.
You're going to the resolve tab, right?
Yeah. Okay, here we go. No Agenda Podcast.
Yeah.
And there's the URL. The feed.
So, I mean, that's a very, I can paste that into a feed. And that is now my unique ID for the No Agenda Podcast.
I like this.
This is DNS. This is exactly the same thing.
Okay, the part I was struggling to understand is the Kademlia part, the DHT space. Because that fits in like what this is fits in well, because the vision that we had is a DHT space for the index.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this and we're using live P2P.
Yes. And it runs on relays. So, obviously we need to have relays, but
well, I think the relays, the length that I got to with my understanding of this, of Kademlia, was that the relay is that is the DHT space that BitTorrent nodes use. So I think,
this is the
part I did not understand is I don't know if that means that all BitTorrent nodes would be inherent PCAR, compatible nodes.
This I don't know, but I have no idea.
That's where I got lost is because it's the same protocol. And so it's possible that BitTorrent network is an overlay on top of that. And if that's the case, then, I mean, that's a robust thing.
Please stop DMing me on IRC. I hate when people do that. It looks very robust. And if it comes from Alex Gates, it's already pre-approved.
Yeah, right. It comes with the seal. Yeah.
And you can add records. You can add multiple records into your key. You could have all kinds of interesting stuff in there. And then, anybody can run this DHT relay. Clearly, it's working. They do have a caveat here that says you need to republish your records every hour or so, otherwise they'll be dropped from DHT. Well, I haven't republished anything, and it's still working after several days, so I'm not sure about that part of it. But it's not like that couldn't be done, that we can't figure that part out. So it just seemed like, wow, what a beautiful way to have a distributed podcast DNS for all of that stuff that we've been talking about.
For sure. I really need to know where the nodes are because if we have to bootstrap these nodes, it's not a deal killer. It's just that that's a pretty big thing to know.
Mm-hmm.
See, it says native applications can directly query and verify signed records from the DHT if they are not behind NAT.
Existing applications unaware of PCAR make normal DNS queries over HTTPS to PCAR servers. Whoa.
Hmm.
Whoa.
It says PCAR will use mainline DHT as the overlay network. Specifically BEP44 for storing ephemeral arbitrary data.
BEP44? Oh my God, that's great. What does it mean?
That's your favorite BEP.
Of all the BEPs, 44 is the one that just tickles me pink.
Yeah, because see, so here it says mainline DHT is the name given to the Kademlia-based distributed hash table used by BitTorrent clients to find peers via the BitTorrent protocol.
Yeah, it's BitTorrent. Yeah, it is the BitTorrent hash space. You're right.
Yeah, so I guess that's really my question is I need to figure out if that means that these key value pairs are being stored.
Yes, I think so. It looks like it.
Okay.
Yes, it's it refers to BEP5. Do you remember that one?
Oh God, everybody remembers BEP5. That shit was crazy.
BEP5, man. Good times with BEP5 days.
That chick was nuts.
Remember she told us about BEP6? Woo-hoo! I'm telling you.
That's right, Eric PP.
Off the hook.
This is good. This is good because
it's exciting. This got me excited when I was able to do this myself on a web page. Like, okay, I just created this. I just basically created a whole podcast DNS record, which can be referenced over DNS for a non BEP44 client, whatever that means.
Whatever happened with the IPFS streaming? That was falling down the last time.
No, I'm still on IPFS.
There were hiccups though.
No, there were issues. Yes, it was cores. It was a cores issue that was introduced. I've thought a lot about IPFSpodcasting.net, which I still use. It no longer has that long delay before it starts. There is a little bit of a delay, but maybe a couple seconds sometimes, depending on how many nodes, etc. It works fine. The weakness, of course, is ipfspodcasting.net. No offense, Cameron. If that goes down, the whole thing falls apart.
Sure.
So,
because that's the router.
That's the, I mean, and I still admit, obviously it seems to be difficult for apps to implement full IPFS nodes in their apps. So we're using gateways right now. All IPFSpodcasting.net goes through a gateway that I pay for, which is fine.
No, but I thought RSS.com was
there may be, yeah, they may be doing some round robining. Yes.
Yeah, I think Alberto was running a big node.
Yeah, but at least it's not going through IPFS.io anymore. That's the main thing. So, and boy, I'll tell you how many emails I'm starting to notice. Like, I'll hover over the link that they want me to click some kind of spam stuff, and right there, IPFS.io. You know, it's used for all kinds of nefarious stuff. So on our gateway, only podcasts work, only those MIME types, you know, so that's, you know, Mark did a great job on that.
I wish Mark, it would be great if Mark could write up what he did.
Written it up. I just got to ask him to publish it somewhere. I've seen a write up. He posted some stuff on the social about it.
I must have missed it because I would love to see what his final architecture was, and so that it could just be sort of wrapped up and replicated to who else wants to run it.
Sure. Yeah.
Because that, I mean, ultimately if we push into this, to this DHT idea, that could also, you know, function in that way. I mean, the enclosures themselves could be also, you know, references to a specific gateway or whatever, and it would lessen the dependence on IPF, you know, IPFS podcasting.
So this DHT over DNS is sexy stuff. That is sexy.
Yeah.
So you can resolve one of these PK DHT keys over a DNS query. That's hot.
Looking at this.
We need to dive in. I mean, this obviously you need to take a look at this. You need to think about it, and I'm sure Alex Gates will have all kinds of ideas. But it just seemed like this is a great way to start fedifying a lot of stuff. To start, you know, being able to push some of those main things that we don't want to be the resolver for, such as GUIDs, you know, person identifiers, et cetera, et cetera. It seems like this is really robust. Like it's been, you know, the BitTorrent stuff has been around for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has. Yeah. This must be the case because it says, that it's 10 million node DHT with a 15 year track record.
Yeah.
Nothing else would come close to that. No way. Even IPFS. No way.
And, you know, add DNS on top of that, which has a lot of, you know, assuredness as to validity. It's beautiful.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah, I like that a lot. I wonder who. Yeah, we should probably get Alex back on, talk about, you know, brainstorm some stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not doing my job as a booker very well.
Lately, no, you suck. You're a sucker.
Yeah, I'm terrible. I know.
And by the way, I wanted to mention that Andrew Grummet has now. Andrew Grummet is putting together all this progressive web app stuff on his GitHub, and he posts about it on podcastindex.social. This, and it, he's building this kind of like as a fallback for when it all goes to crap and the apps are no longer possible. And it's pretty impressive what he's building. He's putting together a whole bunch of libraries, got IPFS alternate enclosure now put into it. He's resolved a lot of the progressive web app issues. So if you're looking for it, Andrew Grummet has got it going on. He's kind of our, you know, he's like our ripcord. He's building
it. Break glass.
Break glass in case of emergency. I really appreciate that. And you saw the OrbitDB stuff, right? I'm just bringing that up.
I did. Yeah, I did.
So is that maybe something viable to distribute the whole index?
It's possible. As I say, the issue with most of those distributed databases is that they are, like I said, eventually consistent, which is basically all NoSQL databases are eventually consistent as well.
Mm.
That's not something that we could just shift the database over to. No, it had to be re-architected to live on that.
Yeah.
Because eventual consistency negates the possibility of having table relationships because the relationships break. You can't have a foreign key if the remote value doesn't exist. So that's, it's just a re-architecture that would have to happen. And I'm definitely not opposed to doing that at all.
Well, I think we have other stuff to do first.
Well, I think the hold back on that would be, we would need to architecture that based on what the interface would be. So if the interface is going to be DHT or something along those lines, because, okay, once you do that, here's what I'm trying to say. Once you do that, you have to have, you've essentially entered the same problem space as IPFS.
Right.
You need a gateway into that thing. And so the gateway, is it going to be HTTP? That's probably, you need that. So we'd have to have gateways. Essentially, you have to have gateway nodes to get into whatever this thing is. It's no longer a machine running a SQL database and an API, an HTTP front end. It's now a
big flat file.
Yeah, it's now DNS. Server, essentially. Mm-hmm. You need to get entry points, gateways into this thing.
Right.
So I think once we figured, I guess we kind of know that already. I guess we know at least it's got to be HTTP. Then you got to figure out who can write to it.
Right. That's the big one.
Yeah. Yes.
So we built this whole distributed architecture and Dave still runs it.
Yeah, that's what I want to not do.
Keep drinking those beef milkshakes. We got to keep Dave alive. KDA, keep Dave alive.
That's what I want to not do, because I think we all want to get away from that.
Yeah. Well, to restate kind of the mission that we're on, we have given independent podcast apps a place to feed on, to live from. And I feel really good about that. I feel solid. We have a little bit of money in the bank to keep it running if everything falls down. I mean, we've got code distributed, database distributed. We're still a vulnerability in the whole mix, obviously. And it'll take some years, but it feels good, Dave. It feels like we're moving in the right direction in all of this.
I think so.
Mainly because, we're not in this to exit, we're not looking for an exit here. The exit we want is to not exist. Want a real exit. It's a true exit.
And our exit is rest.
Yes. Well, for you, mainly.
Well, so that's something we need to discuss real quick. I mean, I know we're getting on in the show now, but we need to say about Ellen Pay.
Oh yeah. Tim,
people may not know this, but we've been, running an Ellen Pay node to support what you might call legacy wallets for a while.
Yeah. We've been paying for it.
Yeah. We pay a lot. I mean, we pay $450 a month for, for Tim K's hosting fees to run this node for us. And Tim basically doesn't make anything off of it. I mean, this is all basically charity work for him and us, and just to support the
The value for value. Apps. Well, we bootstrap. It was a bootstrap.
Yeah. So we went from Sphinx to Ellen Pay in the beginning. Ellen Pay's node had problems, and Tim said, hey, there's a lot of traffic coming through this thing. Y'all are killing it on the podcasting 2.0 stuff. So really we need to split this off into a separate node. So we were like, yeah, sure. We'll pay for that. We started paying him to run a node dedicated just to podcasting 2.0 stuff. And it hosted, a bunch of wallets, but those slowly got moved as everybody moved to Albi and to Fountain and other solutions. So that Ellen Pay node is pretty much defunct now. There hasn't been any transactions on that node for at least a month or more. Mm-hmm. So he contacted us and was like, hey, I'm getting ready to shut this thing down. End of the year, 2023, I want to be out of this game. Cause it's a risk for him. I mean, he doesn't know what's going on this thing. And it was all just for him. It was all just fun. A side project.
And for us, it was just
monetizing.
Yeah. For us, it was just bootstrapping, and we're happy to be out of the game.
for sure. And he decided that he's like, you know what, this is not never going to be a moneymaker for me, and I don't really want it to be anyway, so I'm just going to get out. So he's going to shut the whole thing down. So that means 12/31, let's just, you know, roughly end of the year, the Ellen Pay stuff is completely gone. Yeah. He's shutting the whole thing down. It's good for us because that, you know, that we don't have to pay that bill every month. That'll help save us some money. But anyway, if anybody still has, if you have something on Ellen Pay, you already know that. So that's probably redundant. But if you have like for Castomatic, I think Castomatic still has like a migration function that works where you can move a wallet from Ellen Pay to Albie. End of the year, that's just all going to go away. It's just, now's the time.
And I just wanted to say, and I know he doesn't mind me saying it, just so you know how value for value works with a value split, Neil Jones, to people listening to No Agenda, known as the Clip Custodian, he has been supplying me with clips for, it may be running on 2 years. No, how long is
Ellen? At least, no, it's, well, it's longer than that.
Right.
And he was doing it before we started this project.
Yeah, that's true. And so once we had value for value up and running, then this is pretty much what No Agenda gives all of their sats away. I said, dude, I'm putting you in for, let me see, I think it was initially 5%. Now I'm thinking, well, let me check.
I can look it up.
I'm gonna look it up. I'm looking it up.
I just looked it up.
I'm looking it up, and he's in for, 20%.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. 20, baller. But I upped that. It was 10%, and then somewhere along the line, I upped it. I mean, he had like 8 million sats.
He did. That's a lot.
Just so you know, that's actual money.
It's like $3,000, right?
Yeah, it was actual money that had just been accruing. And I'd switched them over to Albie a while ago. So this had, you know, it had stopped, but it was just sitting there. And it was so, you know, basically like how even, you can't even moving that over the Lightning Network is like iffy. So Tim sends it to him on chain. But there's real money, yo.
Well, let me look at 30, look at V4V stats.com. I mean, we're still tracking daily stuff. And over the last 90 days, $38,278 have changed hands.
Yeah. So there's real money going around this network. Real money. So value for value, even with the Satoshis, is doing something real. I'm so proud of us. I love it. No one owns it. No one can interrupt it. No one owns it. That's the beauty. Peer-to-peer money.
And that's why you do... that's why you do things in the most open way possible, is because that's how you achieve resilience.
We love it. All right, let's thank some people. Dave Jones. I'm going to go through some of these live boosts that we've gotten. Stephen B. 12345. We did the Booberry 11,1100. Sam Sethi with 1,000. We got that one. Nice Row of Ducks 22,222 from Harv Hat, and he says your ad here. Sure, for 22,000 sats you can. 10,000 from Sam Sethi. My time and attention has value. Today, advertisers give me no value for my time and attention. They want it for free. Using V4V, advertisers could pay me sats per minute to listen to adverts, aka reverse wallet switching. If I skip forward, they stop paying, but if I listen, they pay. Podcasters can take a split for serving the advert to their listeners. This has always been, we've always talked about this being a possibility. And of course, it makes nothing but sense. By the way, I wanted to mention Dovidos came up with an interesting new term, which I thought would be worth mentioning. You know, Dovidos has rssblue.com, and they have value time splits, also known as magic wallet switching technology. And the way he sets it up is he does it with chapters. So when you're playing a song or have another person come on, you set a chapter marker, and that chapter marker under the hood creates the wallet switch to the remote and back. This. And he calls that super chapters, and I like it. I like it too. I like it. Super chapters. Because the super chap, so the chapter marker becomes your value time split marker. That may not be appropriate for everybody, but in general, I think that's pretty good. I think it's pretty good. I like it.
I can see it. It's, but for some people, it's just another option.
Yes. Yeah. It sounds cool. But what do you use? Super chapters. Oh, that's where the wallet switches. Yeah. Super chapters. Exactly. Mm-hmm. We have Sir Brian of London, 21,948 or 2,1948 Israeli freedom boost. Brother, you are in our prayers. Ceasefire over, back under rocket fire, he says. And he's, of course, is in Israel. And so our prayers are with you, brother. So stupid. Stupid. War is so stupid. We need to make peace profitable again. That's how we'll stop this stuff.
Amen.
We have, let me see, 33 over 10, who always sends us sats from Breeze. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Spaceballs boost. Okay. Spaceballs. When did Spaceballs come up?
I don't know. Is that something we talked about?
It must have been. I don't know.
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
101 sats from Sam Seth, who says, this was some discrepancy we talked about. He says, can't listen to you live. You had the time 6:25 a.m. local time. But I mean, I set it to 12:25 p.m. It looked good. Yeah, it looked good. But we have, let me see. No, that's it. That's it for our boosts. We're current. So you can take it away from what you've got from your now fixed system.
Yes, we are receiving emails again. Yes.
Yeah.
We've got no one-off donations from PayPal this week. So straight to Boostergrams. We start with Kyron, 2222 from the Mere Mortals podcast, or Curio Caster. He says,
sorry, I hit the duck.
I was frozen waiting for this. It says, a couple of pain points I've personally had recently. If I switch from using something like Conshacks to Fountain and soon PodFans for providing my value block info, how does the index know which to use? And if I ever want to move a show like Mere Mortals, which has lots of different episode splits from Buzzsprout to a host that supports the value tag, I'd need a way to direct them to the feed with all the add-ons. So a general export or linkage from the PI feed would be useful. So that's an easy one. If you switch away from a host that doesn't support a value block to a host that does, then that value block will go into the feed and we will see that value block and we'll override everything.
Yeah.
And it will suck all that in.
He says switching from Conshacks to something else. I mean, yeah, it's just you change it in the feed and the index sees it and changes it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like if you're giving Conshacks a split to get their stats, then you would just switch that to the other person.
Yeah,
you're in control, Kyron. Yes,
you rock, you rock, you roll, you rule.
You're the man.
It's you, Kyron. You go, boy.
Let's see. Mary Oscar, also known as Oscar Mary, 7333 through Fountain. He says, P Doom equals zero. Happy Thanksgiving, gents.
Thank you, Oscar.
Fountain with a P Doom of zero.
Yeah.
1111 from Joel W through Fountain says, Rooster's Lives Matter. He's got a link here. I don't, what is that a link to? Oh, that's a clip. That's a Fountain clip. That didn't go where I thought it would. Wait, I may have to investigate this clip. I thought it was just a clip of us. I don't know what that is. If I didn't know what that was, I would have ISO'd it. Okay. I'll have to bring that next week.
Okay.
That's a link to a different show where they're talking about roosters or something. Bad Career Advice Chad, 6969 through Fountain. He says, super awesome Turkey Day episode. Started strong with chicken gore and ended with TLD talk that will become podcasting lore. Okay.
Yeah, that was the... It will become podcasting. Well, Phoebe's all upset. I don't know what she's all upset about right now.
In the morning, 1200 sats through Fountain says, Dave, stop beating those cocks. Okay. I knew somebody was going to do a joke.
It was inevitable. Yes, of course.
It was incoming. Okay. Jason from Podcast Guru 22222 through Podcast Guru, of course. He says, thanks for helping us out on X, Twitter. Users don't often understand how podcast ads work. Oh, yeah. He got the typical.
Oh, I installed Podcast Guru, which you told me to install, Curry. I got ads, pharma ads. And this is what podcasting 2.0 is all about. And and here's the thing, though, that some podcast, and I said, well, no, that's that's the podcast who they're the ones who have a deal with the ad insertion, and the podcast got in my face. They're like, well, you don't understand us. We never want pharma ads. That's our host. Oh, okay. So it was like
they're just passing the buck upstream. Yeah. It's just all the way.
Yeah,
all
they
the way
said upstream. No, because we've told them time and again we don't want pharma ads, and we need to make sure that just because you don't understand who we are, I'm like, dude, slow down. Why are you so mad, bro?
They will never, ever respect what the podcaster wants in their advertising.
No, of course
they
not.
They could care less.
And was
you
it?
You get what you get.
And was it Megatron or who are those guys? Megatron.
Megatron. That's probably more appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike Dell, 1701, Star Trek Boost. He says, tell Andrew to call Mike at Blueberry to get off the feed burner.
Oh, that's Andrew Horowitz. Yeah. Yeah. But okay. Yeah. I'll remember next time. So call Mike a blue. I think he might've talked about, I don't know. He's in the feed burner hole. It's like, good luck.
Yeah. Call Mike D.
Yeah.
All right. Brian Ensminger, 1701, another Star Trek boost through Castomatic, says AI chatbots are the new Clippy. That's right. They're the old Clippy actually.
Yes.
And that's it. We got some, because we have no commentary blogger because he's taking the month off.
Yeah. He's taking the month off to study on his AI test.
we do have some monthlies. We have Michael Kimmerer, $5.33. Dreb Scott, the Bruce Wayne of podcasting, $15. Mm-hmm. Pedro Goncalves, $5. Chad Farrow, $20.22. Scott Jobbert, $12. And Cameron Rose, $25. And that's our group, small group, but a solid group.
Thank you all so much. We appreciate you. This is, it is value for value. That is, that's how we keep this all running. If the show or the project or anything gives you any value of any sort, maybe we know that the hosting companies value it and we know the apps value it and podcasters should value it. If you do, then, you can go to podcastindex.org. Down at the bottom, we've got two red donate buttons. One is for your Fiat Fund coupons. You can do it through PayPal, which is still a completely valid way of doing it. And we have on-chain. I should probably check that to make sure that, you know, although that doesn't happen very, it's all usually only, Dreb Scott, if there's anything on the on chain, and nope, there's nothing there. Or you can go to podcastapps.com, which I believe Dame Jennifer registered modernpodcastapps.com for us, which I appreciate. Yes, yes. Yeah, that's cool. Get one of those modern podcast apps and boost us. We love the boost. We love the boostograms. It keeps all the servers running, keeps everything going, and lets you know that you value what we're doing here. And we really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
That was evidently in response to a misspeak by you. I think where you said modernpodcastapps.com. This happened to my wife. She does illustrations for lots of things, but she had the illustration for one of her children's books that was published, and the publisher misquoted, they spelled her website wrong in two different places. And so I had to go, I had to defensively register those wrong domain names and redirect them to the right.
Right away. Worst. That's the worst.
I got three domain names that I'm pointing to for like the net for the rest of my life that I'm paying for every year. For defense.
Oh yeah. Tell me about it. I have several of those domain names that will stay with me forever. Weird reasons like that. Yeah. All right, brother. Anything else for the roundtable before we bid adieu to everyone?
No, I'm good. I think I've got homework to do this weekend on PCAR.
Yeah, it's I just got excited by it because I've registered a lot of domain names or have in my life, and when I see I'm just adding records, click click click. I'm like, oh, this is cool. This is easier than my registrar. This just felt very cool. I love it a lot. It could be good.
Yeah, I think hopefully we'll have questions answered by next week, and we can actually like do a feasibility discussion on how, like, what. Not, oh, that's cool, but
actually will it work? Go a little deeper. Yes, all right, yeah. Alex Gates on deck as well. Yeah. All right, brother, have yourself a great weekend. We'll be talking next week.
All right, man.
See all ya. Right. All right, thank you all very much there in the chat room. We appreciate you joining us here for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Join us next Friday right here, Podcasting 2.0.
Podcasts are cool. You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
Oh my God.